Amen. That's right. Hey, I love the excitement and everything in the air. So, like yesterday, I think we had an awesome Shabbat yesterday, and I just really appreciated all the testimonies and how the Holy Spirit moved. It was really great. So, just want to welcome everybody here to Rosh Kodesh as Tammy gets her little scriptures out that we're going to read. It has really been since Sukkot, like just, you know, the testimonies of the vehicles and all of the great things that's been happening in people's lives. It's just a lot of miracles happening. And I'm just really, really excited for that and for all the people. I hope and pray that they will just continue. Amen.
All right. 1 Chronicles 23:30-31. They are to stand every morning to thank you and to praise Yahweh, and likewise at evening, and to offer all burnt offerings to Yahweh on the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the fixed festivals, in the number set by the ordinance concerning them continually before Yahweh. I love to read these two verses every month, because it just shows us that we are to be together, we're to bring our offerings, and we're to worship Him on the Sabbaths and on Rosh Kodesh, the head of the month. What better way to enter into a new month than together and worshiping Him? Amen.
Amen. And like I said, too, they'll be praying over the prayer request, I think, tomorrow. And, you know, just having these prayer requests that come in, and when you write them down, and just to, I remember when we first started this, we kept a little journal, but it was, I mean, we would, before we even got it written in the journal, we had to write the prayer request and the answer. Because the answer was happening the next day, all these answers, and it just kept going. And then I said, we're going to end up with a ton of books, and you know, but it is really amazing how the Father just answers prayer in people's lives. And I know that it's also as these ladies, as they lay these prayer requests out, and they're dancing, they're worshiping. It's not that they come up here and they look and they read something, and they'll worship and they'll wave the banners and they just pray and cleanse the building. Hey, there's been some times they'll walk in and they'll say, you know what? It just feels something's not right in here. And they'll go and cleanse the building first before they start praying. I just appreciate that, guys, because they're praying over all our prayer requests and these answers. And there's a lot of people, even right now, even amongst all the blessings, there's still right now people here need miracles. And they need some things in their life, and they need answers. I am just so excited, you know. And I know I said this the other day, and some of the key is that when someone gets an answer to prayer, we need to be excited for them. You know, we really need to show that excitement and that encouragement. And I am. I mean, and it's not just because somebody got a vehicle. You know, I mean, in the little things, in the healings, and all the things that's happening in people's lives, you know, when we're praying for, you know, the baby, and when a baby gains a pound, I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? You'd say, well, that's just a little thing. You'd say, well, you know, a car is different. No, when a baby is when a baby's not gaining weight, and all of a sudden that baby, we pray, and that baby gains a pound, or
And may I share something here? When she sent the prayer request out last week, I think, she was 8 ounces that day, right? And she's 24 ounces yesterday. Triple. Since we prayed, 3 times the amount she's taken down now. So that's another answered prayer.
But gaining weight, that's a good thing. And maybe one day she might get on us. You know, I don't know when she gets to be in her 30s, But really and truly, I'm just thankful. Really and truly, I'm just thankful. I mean, because all of this is just, I don't know. It's, to me, I'm amazed. I know I ought not be, but I'm amazed. Amen. I am so grateful and thankful. And that's really all Yahweh wants us to be, is thankful. And when all of these things happen, He just wants us just to turn ourselves to Him and praise Him and thank Him for everything that He does. The big things and the small things, because there's really a lot of small things He does for us. And if He wouldn't do that, they would end up into big situations to where we would have chaos. And I'm just so thankful for what He's done in our lives. Amen. Well, what I want to do is let's go to Genesis chapter 1. This month is the 11th month, and it's Shivat. But in this month, there's something that really happens on the 15th of this month. And I know that here, I think in America, we have Arbor Day. It's where they would go and plant trees. But in Israel, on the 15th, they will also, it's the year of the trees. And they will go and plant trees and this, that, and the other. And so I was really looking at that. And it that's what really came to me is about trees, fruit, and seed. And I want to pick up something here because, you know, in the scripture, we know that the seed is Yeshua. That's his word. And that's one thing that we are to give. We're to produce the fruit. But sometimes in this cycle, sometimes we're, according to scripture, as you go through, and there's no way I could go through all the scriptures that talk about trees. But a lot of times it says, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I mean, there's a lot of times that we're referred to or likened to trees or stones or whatever in scripture. But there's a reason why that is. And it's because trees are to do something. They're not just to stand there. Now, they give off oxygen to us. And I am so glad for the greenery. Amen? Because I need that oxygen. But it's not just to give off oxygen. It's to bear fruit. And so that's why we're likened to that, is because we are designed to do something. That is to be fruitful and to be multiplied. Fruitful, that was some of the things that she talked about. So the big thing is that we are trees. We're compared to that a lot of times. It is for us to now bear fruit. And then guess what? The beautiful thing is when we bear good fruit, and that's what we're needing to do, the very seed of Yeshua is in that fruit. That's what needs to be in there. Because let's just take the three vehicles that came to the people's lives. They didn't all come from here. One of them came from an aunt or a cousin or something like that. But the thing about it is Angela still knows what, where it comes from. It comes from him. It was answered prayer because he uses us as people to be able to minister to people. I remember Don was telling me a story when you were down in, is it Costa Rica or Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands? St. Croix. See there, if I'd have kept going, I'd have got it. But anyway, but he was telling me the story, and I may not get it all right, but he was telling me a story to where he was in there, and there was a lady, and he ended up, the lady just didn't have any money or didn't have, okay, that was Texas. See there, so I'm in the wrong Virgin Islands. Different islands, yeah, different islands. But I just remembered you had two different big stories. In other words, the bottom line was, is for him, he was in the right place at the right time to be able to help someone that didn't have anything and they were in need, and he was able to meet that need for them. And he was appreciative that the Father placed him there, because really he was telling me, because sometimes when you get in these situations, usually you're in a hurry. When you're in a store and you're in, I'm in a hurry. And the Father is going to say, well, you ain't in no hurry right now because I need you to do something. And most of the times when you do something, this has happened to me, and I know I've told these testimonies, it's not just for you and that person. It's for all. We're doing something and helping somebody in line, and we're doing something. And then all of a sudden, where nobody was in line with you, there's 30 people in line. And it's like, there's other cash registers. But they all happened to be here, but that was for them to see. And so they see the fruit, the seed is in the fruit. She's thanking the Father, and then all the other people are saying, you know what, they catch on fire. You know, I want to help do something, and that's what really this is about. I just really appreciate this community of being able and just really loving to do that for people. So that's what this ends up being here is the Father's laying on my heart that we need to be those trees. We need to be to where we can bear the right fruit, because what happens is, and you know what? Sometimes in our life, we don't get to see the fruits of our labor, but you will one day. When you stand before him and he starts in the gold and the silver and the precious stone, or is it going to be the wood, the hay, and the stubble? Something we're producing every day is what we're doing. The thing is we are here really and truly, guys, to lay up these treasures in heaven. Because I will tell you, just like Yeshua said it, and it's been in the scriptures, we're not going to take our stuff in. Our stuff ain't going. All that is just corruptible. It's just not going to do it. And then, and like one old guy said one time, you know, you got all this gold. Well, we pave our streets with gold up here. So the thing about it is, even the gold is something you're going to walk on if you was just likening it to that. So it put it in perspective. But it's really about meeting the needs, because, see, you don't really know the people that were standing in line. You don't know whose heart that changed. Because I'm going to tell you, because when that time I went through that same situation, the cashier started shouting in Walmart. And I'm like, you know, we got to just sort of lower this a little bit, you know, because I didn't want to get into this drawing attention either. But she was saying, well, you know what? So she went and got in her purse. She said, you ain't going to get all the blessings. She went and got in her purse and gave $20 to the whole thing that was happening. But see, it just spurns something, and they get excited. But that's what we need to do. But so we need to be these trees. All right, and so in this, the scripture of Genesis 1:29, it said, and Elohim says, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed on the face of the earth, of all the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit. And it says, this shall be food for you, or this shall be for them for food. And then I wrote down here, this works in our lives spiritually the same way. Okay, so the Father is, this actually happens, but we're going to look at the spiritual side of this, that there's trees, there's plants, and in that, there's seed in it, there's fruit, and it is for our food. So guess what? When he did this deed for this lady, even though this lady got actual physical food and everything that she needed, other people got spiritual food. They got what they needed to see for them in their lives. All right, Genesis 3:1. Let's flip over there. But I do want to show you here, sometimes, and this is where we need to have our discernment on, because they are good fruit out there, but it ain't good for you. They are certain berries in the woods that look really good, but they are poison, okay? And the thing is there's probably some pretty plants out there, pretty flowers out there, whatever, that are poisonous. So you have to have the discernment that what is good and what is not good. In the spiritual, it's the same way. There's things, we talk about this, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We say this, everything good is not God. See, we're designed to eat from the tree of life, not from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we're going to see this part, and then we're going to move on to Matthew. Our Genesis 3:1, it says, now the serpent, more crafty than any other beast of the field that Yahweh had made. And so it shows you that Yahweh made this serpent. And he said to the woman, and here's the thing. Did Elohim actually say? In other words, I wrote down here, are you sure you didn't misunderstand him? Did Yahweh actually say this? You sure you didn't misunderstand? It gets you to doubt. When you spend time listening to the enemy, that's all he does is he creates doubt. It aggravates me sometimes whenever you can have two or three witnesses that can witness a murder, but all the defense lawyer is trying to do to the jury is to create what? Reasonable doubt. Just reasonable doubt. Are you sure you saw that? Can you believe your lying eyes? You know, this is what they do. They try to get it. Well, you know what? Maybe it was too dark. Maybe it was. They try to, and that's all Satan was trying to do here is create reasonable doubt, and he did a good job. He said, did Yahweh or Elohim actually say that you shall eat, not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But Elohim said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the reason why Yahweh said don't eat of that tree is because that's not your tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is my tree. I'm giving you all the other trees to eat, but this one, you're not designed to handle that tree. And that's the way things are in life. Sometimes there's people, well, I'm just going to say it like this. We call it that there's food, but there are certain things that we used to eat and people do eat that's not designed for food. And we learn this, especially when we get to a place in our lives when we end up getting sick because we eat certain things that we used to call food. You know, it's funny. I go to the wellness center. I'm not there now, but when I would go there, the arguments is always, you know, the reason why they didn't eat pork back in the day, they didn't have a refrigerator. You know, and I was like, what in the world has a refrigerator got to do with it? But, you know, we come up with all of these crazy reasons why we can now disobey the scriptures because there's a refrigerator or there's a fire, you know, what's that new pot that y'all have now? An Instapot. Now, bless God, you can eat anything you want to because you got an Instapot because it can kill anything. That is not the design. The whole thing is not designed. So in the scripture here, we see that this tree was not designed for us to partake of. But then the serpent said to the woman in verse 4, "You will not surely die. For Elohim knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like Elohim. You'll be like him, knowing good and evil." Verse 6. So when the woman, and here's the problem, and this is why I want to say this. We are called to bear good fruit. We are called first to be a good tree. Okay? Because we're going to go there in just a moment in Matthew when we're finishing this up. The Father wants us to be a good tree. He wants us to be a good tree because you first have to be a good tree before you can bear good fruit. Amen? The thing is we have to work on that. We have to be what the Father has called us to be in His place. And the thing is if whatever kind of tree we are, and we're different trees or whatever, but we bear the fruit that we need to bear the fruit. And we need to bear it in its season. And this is the reason why I want to say this. I wished every Shabbat that we could just have miracles and blessings. But do you know that miracles and blessings, they come in times and seasons. There comes times and seasons where we have to fight through trials and tribulations. For one reason, it's to make us strong. It's to build our faith. Next week, and I said this a little bit, and we'll get into the teaching next week. The whole thing about in Scripture, before Yahweh ever did any kind of big adventure for the children of Israel, the parting of the Red Sea and all of these things, he had to do something first. He had to instill in their minds, and he has to instill in our mind, that he is the creator and everything revolves around him. He is Elohim and there is no other. In your life, before anything good is going to happen, that's going to be established. Because if that's not established, you will think that you did it on your own. In BJ's life, he had to have some 26s. You know what I'm saying? He had to have 26s. Why? Because now he knows Yahweh did this. I didn't do it. I didn't want to do it. We heard the testimony. But Yahweh does things in our life so that we can't take credit for it. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, he goes before us. He does that in everything in our life. So here's the deal. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, number one, she saw it was good. You're not supposed to eat it, but it looked good. It was good for food. Then it was a what? A delight to what? The eyes. And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Because of these things, it looked good. It was going to make her wise. There was a desire there to do it. She took it and she ate. She took for the fruit. She ate. And she also gave some to her husband that was with her and he ate. And I wrote down here just what I said before. Bad fruit sometimes can look good. But when we bail off and we're not praying, and this is where prayer comes in. We don't need to make decisions, especially big decisions in our life, without prayer. Because I will tell you, and you already know this, sometimes when we got the I wants, a lot of times we don't pray then because we're afraid the answer is going to be what? No. Okay, so we don't really want to do that. But we still need to step out and pray, because if the answer is yes, then guess what? He's in it. But if we don't step out and pray, and then we step off in it, then guess what? We got to clean our own shoes. You know what I'm saying? Because we stepped off in it, and then all of a sudden things are not going right because of whatever's happening in our life. This is why authority, this is why parents is so important for our children. All of these things line up. They're there for a reason. The father, you know, he plays family. He could have done anything he wanted to do. But he is our heavenly father. So he places fathers in this earth to represent. That's why, and then he places children and wives, and we work together, and all of that works together to do one thing. Shows you how he works and how the heavens work. And when you step out from under that authority, you step out from under your earthly authority, then guess what? If you don't respect your earthly authority, you will not respect him. You just ain't going to do it. It ain't going to work. And that's why all of this is important. Now, we already know. We've been there, done that. We've seen people that do this. And it causes what? It causes heartache. It's going to do it every time. It just does. Okay, so with that said, let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Still talking about trees. We're talking about fruit. It says this, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, John the Baptist, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they're going to be coming down to where he's baptizing. You have Matthew 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of them, now, would you not say that the Pharisees and Sadducees look the religious part? You know, if you ever watch these movies with them in there, like whenever Yeshua's being crucified and all of that, they got the long robes on, they got the big hats on, they got the zitzits, they've got everything happening. They got the flag trees. They look the part. So if you was going to sit back and say, this is what the scriptures say that you're supposed to look like as a leader, this is what they're supposed to look like. Now, John, or Yochanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, he's in a muddy river in the Jordan. If you've ever been in the Jordan or been there, it's a muddy river. You know, it's not the most pristine thing in the world, but it's a muddy river. And he's there. And how is John the Baptist dressed? In camel hair. You know, he's dressed in camel hair. He looks probably like Tarzan or whatever, but covered better. So anyway, so John the Baptist, he's not in all of the religious looking stuff. But do you think he was sort of like a little bit ordained to be where he was supposed to be at the time he was supposed to be there? A Nazarite, I'm sure that his hair was sort of a little long. He probably looked like what we used to call here a woolly booger. I don't know if that's a new word for you, a woolly booger. See, they learn new words here. I'm not going to tell you. They understood what the word gully washer was. She's like, you know what, Dennis tickled me the other day. We were out here, not this Shabbat, but last Shabbat. All of a sudden, firecrackers and bombs and stuff was going off. He said, in Michigan, these are firecrackers. Here, that's probably gunfire. You know, he said, Mississippi is probably gunfire. I said, you're probably telling the truth. So, but I'm just saying, but anyway, that's what we have our Michigan, Mississippi friends. So they're learning these new words, gully washer, now woolly booger. So what I'm saying here, I'm just painting a picture. The Pharisees and Sadducees, I'm telling you, they're dressed to the nine. They're dressed in the proper garments because they are the religious crowd. And Yochanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, is out there in that water. No shaving and camel hair and you know what I'm saying? And if you would, I'm just saying, if you're the crowd, I'm just wanting to paint the picture. If you're the crowd, who do you think the Holy Spirit's going to be following? What you've always been taught. from the Torah. Here's the religious crowd. These are the ones that, you know, we're to go to. Moses says go to them. And you see what I'm saying? But yet, the Father has the anointing on John the Baptist, Yochanan the Immerser, being where he's supposed to be. And it was happening enough that you know that it stirred enough that what was going on, the Pharisees and the Sadducees have to go down to the Jordan to see what's happening. Because, you know, they got their nice mikvah pools all nice and clean. And y'all down here in that muddy river down at Josephine Sandbar. John the Baptist, he welcomes them when they come down there. And he said to them, "You brood vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he says something, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You know, we talk about sometimes the Lord's Prayer. Now, that's not a prayer, but that is an outline. But he said this, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." But think about this now. In the form, does it not say, "Forgive us of our trespasses, lest we forgive those who and forgive those who trespass against"? In that model prayer, every day we're to be asking for forgiveness, and we are to be forgiving those who have trespassed against us. And this is what he's saying here, that we need to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, we need to have a heart and a mind to know that we need to be so keen. Even though we may not think that we have sinned or maybe something, that at least, you know, "Father, if there's something that we've done, would you forgive us? And even more than that, if somebody who has offended us, I want to forgive them." This is the way we need to live our life. And this is because I can promise you the Pharisees and Sadducees, for him to say that, they probably didn't think they had any sins. They probably thought they were up, and for him to challenge them. So all I'm saying here is this: this is a real life situation. So they look like a good tree, and you would think because of the way they look like they're bearing good fruit. But John the Baptist called them out, called them brood of vipers. You need to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, you know what? You need to come on down here in this river, and be repenting of your sins. Now, has Yeshua died yet? No. Matter of fact, I don't even know if he's been in the water yet. I hadn't even looked. Does he come in the water later? But the thing is, it's a little bit later. So what I'm saying is, he's not telling them you got to accept. I mean, he's not been on the cross yet either. But he's telling them that you have your life is full of sin. You think you're bearing good fruit. You think you're a good tree. Because you're wearing all the stuff that makes you look like. That's what this is what the Father is telling us this month. We need to examine our lives as we always do. Are we the tree that he has, you know, designed us to be? Are we that tree? Are we bearing that fruit? Because it's important. Because you know what? If you're a bad tree and you're bearing bad fruit, you're giving bad seed. And if you're giving bad seed and somebody takes that and runs with it thinking it's good seed, bad things are start growing in their life. They'll have a wrong mentality. If you're for example, if a minister stands up here and says homosexuality, it is a lifestyle and it is sanctified, that is bad seed. It is terrible seed. And if they grab that and run with it, then guess what? That's going to start, then they're going to start reproducing and saying that's okay. And that's what this is talking about. He's wanting us to produce good fruit because we have to have good seed. We have to have the seed of this word going out into the lives of the people because that's what's going to heal people and that's going to change people's lives. And then he says this to them. You know he has to go here. "Do not presume to say to yourselves." In other words, don't pull the Abraham card. We have Abraham as our father. You know, sometimes that's what happens. I went to the theological seminary of, you know what I'm saying? In other words, they'll pull a card. What education do you have? I was an electrician. Hard Knocks is where I got my stuff. I hadn't been to a seminary of whatever. You know, well, I'm glad too, because I would have had a lot of unlearning to do. But you see what I'm saying? So what happens is they'll pull a card on you. Well, what education do you have? Do you know that Abraham's our father? I don't know where you come from, you woolly booger. I don't know what rock you came out from under. You know what I'm saying? They're just like, are you going to, you challenge, you call it, we're the Pharisees. And can't you see how sad these seas are here? You know what I'm saying? And we're still a little bit above them. But don't you know who we are? That's right. So you see what, I'm just painting this picture just to let you know this is the way people, there's pride in that. But he's telling them, don't pull this card. Don't play the card that Abraham's your father. He says, because I'll tell you this, Elohim is able from these stones. If you've ever been to Israel, they got stones. He said, they'll pull from these stones. They're able for these stones to raise up children for Abraham. He said, it's nothing for the father to take these stones and raise children from them to worship him. And you know what? He wants us, he desires us, but we have to do it his way. And if you're not going to do it his way, he don't need that. We need to be producing things that produce life. And then he says this, verse 10, he says, even now the axe is laid to what? The root of the trees. He's likening them to trees. He says, right now, at this very moment that I'm talking to you, because you're not going to repent. That's why he said, you need to bear fruit of repentance. Don't pull the Abraham card. And guess what? You're not moving, so you know what? Even now, the axe is already laid to the root of this tree. He is fixing to take from you. He's fixing to take from you. He's fixing to cut down everything that you love and what it stands for. He's fixing to remove that from you and give it to another. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. And let's go to Revelation 2:7, and I'm going to finish up with this one, because this is really where we're at, too, on this. It says, this goes to one of the churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To those who conquer, for those who overcome, for those who fight this fight and fight a good fight of faith, for us, for those of us who hold to the Torah and have our faith in Yeshua, for us, for those, we can do this. It says, I will grant to you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of Elohim. So guess what? That tree's still there. That tree's not cut down. We don't know where that tree is, but that tree is still there, and we have to eat of that tree. We will eat of that tree one day. If we will conquer, if we will press through, and if we won't grow weary in doing good in all of these things and all of these other scriptures, if we will make it through, if we will overcome, guys, we're going to eat of that tree. The very tree that Adam should have ate of to start with, and life would be good. But he didn't, and it ain't. But now we repent, and we're moving forward, amen, and he give us hope because he sent Yeshua, his blood. I don't care what anybody says, the blood is the very foundation. Without that sacrifice, there is no getting to the next step. The Torah was given to us because of all of the mess ups and sin that Adam had. It is to teach us that we're a sinner and we need a Savior. Knowledge is not going to get you there. Being agnostic ain't going to get you there. Knowledge ain't where it's at. Being knowed up ain't where it's at. You have to have a sacrifice first. We have to have a blood transfusion. You accept Yeshua, you accept. That's Yahweh's sacrifice. Yahweh sacrificed his son. He asked him, would you do this? He said, Father, I'll do anything for you. I'll do this for you. If this is what you want me to do for them, you love them this much, I'll love them this much. And he laid down his life for us. And guys, if you don't have that, You can't go any further until you get that. We have to have the sacrifice, because if not, we still got that big S, and it ain't Superman, it's sin on our chest. He took that S off of my chest, and he put an R on it for righteousness. He's made me righteous because of what he's done, not for anything that I've done, and there's nothing I can do that's going to make myself righteous, except for one thing. After that has happened, he's given me everything I need to know and to do to stay that way. He cleaned me up, and you know what he told me to do? If I goof up, I repent, and I go get a bath. I go get me a mikvah. I go do whatever I need to do to make sure that I stay within the confines of what he says to do. He's looking for us to be good trees, because good trees bear good fruit. And good fruit will bring the very seed of Yeshua to the people, Don, that's in need. And people that need help. That's what it's all about.